And we're heading into this last hour phone calls already loaded up, but we'll try to get you an open line soon with our guest, Brad Steiger, who's a classic. He's been doing Coast to Coast long before the radio show came along. 4 decades worth, 160 books on paranormal experiences. And this one's a reprint from 1971. Nice to have it back. Otherworldly Affairs and Other Topics next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, let's head down to Atlanta way here in just a second. But first, let's get, I believe it's John in New York City. He's been hanging on the longest on Coast to Coast AM. John?
Hi, Ian.
Hi, you're talking with Brad Steiger.
Hi, John.
Yeah, hi. I just want to tell you a little bit about my my experience. I guess you could say I'm a recovered sex addict.
Mm-hmm.
And... Well, I went to Medjugorje, the religious shrine.
Yes.
And basically had a conversion experience there.
Mm-hmm.
And basically I've been living a celibate life now.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2000.
Okay.
Since that happened. But I made a commitment to God that I was, you know, going to abstain.
Okay.
And when I was there. When I came back, I was walking my dog in a park that's near a large park with, you know, that has a lot of woods, a state park.
Mm-hmm.
It's a town park next to a state park, actually. And there was a really beautiful woman that was in this picnic area where they have like an overhang, you know, like where you can, I forget what you call it, like a gazebo.
Right.
Okay. And, she was very interested in my dog, but she was very attractive, and I found myself extremely, you know, this is like only maybe a month after coming back. I found myself very,
okay,
very weak in her presence.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that really caught me, though, I mean, because I was ready to, let's just say, you know, have some shenanigans with her.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that really made me realize that this was, I was able to discern that this was really, I am a spiritual person, actually. I was actually raised fairly religious, but I've had this issue. But anyway, so I was able to discern that the two so-called children that were with her were actually demons.
Mm-hmm.
And she was appearing, that this was some type of devil and that appeared as a woman and was trying to get me to break my commitment. And, you know, I just come back. See, when I was addicted and when I was acting out my behavior, I was very spiritual and I was aware of, you know, the fact that if you can call on, like, you know, demonics.
Right.
That could make your experience more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so addicted that, you know, that I'd want to do this a lot, you know, with whoever girl I was with,
right,
that I would, you know, welcome this. And I wouldn't do it, you know, say it out loud, but I certainly was doing it, you know, in my mind. And it,
right.
And I was able to have, you know, some great sex because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, so when that's how I knew this was a huge test. This was like, you know, Jesus was tempted in the desert. Well, this was kind of like on that level. I mean, I was so attracted to this woman, and the way she was smiling at me, and she was like showing interest in my dog, and even as I drove away, she gave me this look that I'll never forget, and I'll just never forget those two so-called children, who I just knew were not children. There was something evil about them,
right?
And they couldn't.
Just
they,
not
they,
quite right, were they?
No, they were definitely not right. There was no innocence in them,
yeah,
and they were riding around on like two little big wheels, because it was like you know, they have like a concrete base there where this gazebo is, and they just kept looking at me and looking at me, and they were wondering if I was.
Did she have a raincoat on?
No, she had a really tight pair of jeans on.
Okay.
But
what? Hang on a second, John. Why the raincoat, Brad? What was
that
about?
Well, this entity with the two children is often reported by men who are exactly in our caller's position as
fighting temptation.
Yeah, and it's remarkable. One individual wrote to me. He was stationed in Germany, and the entity followed him all over wherever he went in Germany. He would eventually encounter this lady in the raincoat, who, you know, he soon realized wasn't a woman, but appeared that way. And he would actually converse with her. And when he came back to the States, he was afraid she would follow, but she didn't. I guess he would. The water, the symbol of water, the great ocean, I guess, separated them. But this is actually a very common type of experience, and it's the lady and the two little children that the spiritual and thank heavens this man noticed they weren't quite children, but right. They appeared. That was their guise of the moment.
That if he had wanted to, he could have continued to have written them off as children. If he had wanted to be attracted to her, so that's the crossroads
for
his temptation. Interesting.
And congratulations, and I hope you stay strong, brother.
Yeah. First-time caller line, I mentioned Atlanta Rhythm Section at the top of the hour. Scott is in the ATL on Coast to Coast AM for Brad Steiger. Go ahead, Scott.
Hi, good morning, Ian and Brad.
Hi.
The story is I've got somewhat firsthand knowledge, but the majority happened with my best friend and his wife. A couple years ago, they bought an old abandoned farmhouse just southeast of Nashville, where I used to live.
Mm-hmm.
Town was called Murfreesboro, if you know Civil War history.
Oh, yeah.
Battle of Stones River.
I know where it is.
Well,
I know Murfreesboro quite well.
Okay. And now this is way, way out of the sticks.
Sure.
It's at the end of a long road, the mm-hmm. house. Now, mm-hmm. the original front facade of the house is the only thing that exists.
Okay.
From the original structure, the rest has been built on as owners have come and gone. They basically sank every penny they had into this house, and a couple of strange things started happening. First off, when they showed up for the first time, they had this black lab dog. And this thing was, like, fearless, no fear whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They had to drag it out of the car, and as soon as its feet hit the ground, it took off. They've never seen it again.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. Workers in the house, because the house had to have a lot of renovation and work done, kept saying tools were coming up, missing.
Mm-hmm.
They would show up somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of times back in the truck or whatever. Well, in order to scrimp and save as much money as they could, I pitched in, and we all did work around the house, what we could, painting and what have you. The real part of this story starts one day. It was a Saturday afternoon, about 2-ish. My friend and I were going to go to the hardware store, do some shopping, come back a couple hours later. His wife was painting the baseboard of the house. Said she would stay there, finish it up. Jump ahead a couple hours. We come back. She is asleep on the bed.
Hmm.
And her side of the story is she finished maybe half hour, 45 minutes after we left, went to the bedroom of the house. It's a two-story home. And the first story was the only thing that had been renovated that was livable. We couldn't even get to the second story because a door that led to the stairwell was, like, blocked from junk.
Okay.
Just piled
right,
in.
Right.
So getting to it, she said that about 30, 45 minutes after we left, she finished up, ran a hot bath, sat down on the bed, must have fallen asleep. Well, we woke her up. Now, first thing we notice is the tub is full of piping hot water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had dinner, and she came in. She took her gloves off that she had worn because of the painting, and her wedding set was missing.
Okay.
This woman has never taken these off except to clean them over several years of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
She thought we were playing around with her. Obviously, we weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Time wore on. Over a couple of weeks, finally got to the point where we took the door, basically had to take the door off in order to get up the stairs, and all the junk comes piling out and all. And we go upstairs and are looking around, and she finds her wedding dress. Yeah. I mean, packed, like in this hermetically sealed box. You know how they do it.
Well, boy.
On a bed upstairs. Now, this woman stands 5 foot nothing, weighs all of 90 pounds, soaking wet. She couldn't have made it up this by herself. No way.
Very interesting. All right.
She's obviously completely freaked out, comes screaming down the stairs, and figures there's been an intruder in the house. Well, the way the dust was set up, there were no footprints, no nothing.
Sure. That's good.
Ours.
Let's
the
get Brad.
The intruder was already there.
Yeah.
And I went in there and looking around, trying to find some evidence. Maybe somebody's coming through a window, and there was a chest of drawers, and in one of the drawers was her wedding set.
So, Brad, and thank you, Scott, for that.
Excellent.
Very interesting. What do you think of that?
Well, this is, someone trying to tell them something, and the fact that the wedding ring that she never takes off, and most women don't, and some, you know, it's been on so long it can't come off. It sounds like that was the case here. I think that there must have been some entity first messed with the dog, got rid of the dog, and that, because dogs, you know, have that extraordinary sensibility that might have protected the woman, and then this entity is showing off, and I hope they've been able to settle in, because this sounds like a house that's just made for haunting and made for one episode after another, and probably an entity that would become invasive into their lives.
I was going to say, it reminded me of a couple of the stories in Otherworldly Affairs where
that's right.
It was like a ghost rival. I mean,
that's
where
right.
It was somebody trying to take a human lover, almost
that's
trying
right.
to scare him away, maybe.
And we have a story in the book where the wedding ring is taken off as well. So
right. Shelley is in Kentucky on Coast to Coast AM for Brad Steiger. Shelley?
Thank you, Ian. Mr. Steiger, I've been listening to what you've been saying,
mm-hmm.
and I tend to be, as much as I enjoy Coast to Coast, a severe skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
But I have found when my father died, there have been some very bizarre things,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know quite how to, I can't put them into a logical box.
Okay.
The one thing that's been the strangest, excuse me, I have a cold.
That's okay. You have a cold, but don't worry about it.
We have a grandfather clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been working for a long time. And my mother came to stay with us, and I didn't really think about, excuse me, what day it was. And I was in the living room, and the clock began to chime.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I haven't heard that in a long time. And just about that time, the microwave went off. So, excuse me, I came in the kitchen, opened up the microwave, looked at the clock. It was 3:00. So I walked upstairs, and I don't even know why I did this, but I said to my mother, I said, Mom, what time did you get married? She said, 3:00.
Mm.
And so I told her, I said, well, she knows I don't want to say I'm an atheist, but I'm very skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, well, why are you asking me this? I said, did you hear the grandfather clock? And she said, no. I said, well, it just chimed. And I was kind of joking. I said, oh, it must be Dad. So she said, I wish I could hear it. So I said, well, come on downstairs, because I was trying to make her feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So she came downstairs, and she stood in front of the clock, and she said, oh, honey, I wish I could have hear it chime. And it started chiming.
Mm-hmm.
So I called my husband. I said, you won't believe this, but our grandfather clock is chiming. He said, there's no way. It hasn't had batteries in it for a year. I mean, there's been these really weird things that's happened since then, which are so, like, bizarre. I don't even think I could even talk about them.
Well, you know,
but I don't know how to quite.
They're weird. They're weird to you because you haven't accepted this into your reality. And it's all right to be skeptical. I'd prefer someone being skeptical as being gullible, and every little rustle they think is a ghost footstep.
Right.
But I think you've had an introduction. You've had a kind of very pleasant initiation into the fact that maybe the universe, maybe the world has just some extended parameters that you hadn't considered before.
You know, it kind of reminds me of, we had a neurophysicist, neuropsychologist on, mm-hmm. neuropsychiatrist on a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Peter Fenwick. And I think it's actually pronounced Fennec. And he was on talking about his book, The Art of Dying. And he has a whole chapter on that. A very interesting exploration of the grandfather clock phenomenon.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it is a recognized category of phenomenon.
Yeah, it really is. All right, and then Jason, who's in Salt Lake City? The name doesn't appear on my screen. What's that? Paul is in Salt Lake City for... Brad Steiger on Coast to Coast AM in the time that we have. Paul?
Hi, Ian. Hi, Brad. How do you do? I have a problem. From the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, I am haunted and tormented by the spirit of the late shaman, Carlos Castaneda.
Really?
Yes.
How does Carlos bother you?
He screams in my head all day. They attack everything I do. They cause me pain. For the first few months, I couldn't even use my memory because every time I picture something like a person I dealt with or had past dealings with, they would become that person and it frightened me with an image.
That doesn't sound like Carlos in the living.
No,
to be
it
a
doesn't
tormentor.
Sound like Carlos in the living.
Well, he promised us who attended his seminars that he would be a guide for us in the other world.
But he shouldn't be behaving in that manner.
He's a predator. He tricked us all.
Well, he's I will direct you to our website. We have many techniques. They have worked for, I'm not laying this on, they have worked for hundreds of people who have been bothered by that type of thing. And if you seriously employ them, if you send me your email address, I'll just send them to you, save you the trouble of looking them up. I mean, these are techniques. People are bothered with those types of things. These are some techniques we've honed over the decades that work and straighten that kink in your psychic energy out.
Paul, why would Carlos Castaneda pick on you?
Well, I called him because he promised us that he would be a guide in the other world once he had left. So I practiced diligently all the procedures he taught us, and so I beckoned to him and his witches, and they came. I found out later, after they had come, some horrible stuff about them. They all committed suicide in the desert after he left.
I never heard that.
In the prompt newspapers, they found Nuri's adopted daughter's body.
Okay, we can't do last names. Jason, make sure that you go ahead and clip that so that we don't run into that problem. Hey, thank you, though. All right, so heading into this last hour, we'll get to your calls, your comments. Brad Steiger, the author of Otherworldly Affairs. And remember, too, if you go online, you'll catch up on coasttocoastam.com. You'll catch a bunch of very cool ghost stories getting ready for Ghost to Ghost AM with George Norrie. It's his first time ever doing that this coming Friday. And there's some links on my blog that you'll find interesting, too, at coasttocoastam.com. So Brad Steiger, the book Otherworldly Affairs, all about human-divine-human-slash-specter relations. We'll get to it next on Coast to Coast AM. I want to make a mention here. We pulled the trigger on the last caller, not because of the charge about the women associated with Carlos Castaneda that may or may not have committed suicide out in the desert. There's been this story for a while that they all did jointly, but others just say, nope, they just disappeared and sort of rewrote their lives after that. But regardless of that, we just ask you, remember, no last names in association with, you know, charges of any type. We just prefer that you don't use last names, and that we never have to worry about any legal repercussions of the things that you may be claiming. Even if they end up being true, it puts us in a tough spot. So if you would, Don't embroil us in that drama, and we won't have to bleep you. So thank you. We got another half hour of calls. Brad Steiger, Otherworldly Affairs, next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Brad Steiger, author of Otherworldly Affairs, Haunted Lovers, Phantom Spouses, and Sexual Molesters from the Shadow World. Let's pick it up where we left off with Ronnie in Hershey, Pennsylvania, on Coast to Coast AM. Ronnie? 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 Okay, that's creeping me out. You hearing anything, Brad?
I think someone's snoring.
Like she's snoring? Is she asleep? Ronnie? She is. Ronnie. Wake up, Ronnie. Ronnie, this is your dad calling. You're late for school. Ronnie? No, I think
maybe
we lost
we
her.
Should move on.
She may be in a dream state with yes. an otherworldly lover as we speak.
Well, we'll Let's hope get... he's gentle and kind and the right sort of guy.
Michael is in Canada on Coast to Coast AM for Brad Steiger.
Yeah, hi Ian. Hi Brad. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Brad, I'm just wondering, have you come across what I've been able to do lately? I've been take my video camera out in the backyard and put on the infrared, and I'll get these little balls of light mm-hmm. that kind of zip around. Now, it's very strange because I know it's not an animal, the reflection of an eye.
Yeah.
They move at incredible speeds and in erratic patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Have you come across this?
Well, yes, of course, the orbs. Now, again, I get dozens of them, and I send them to my team of photographic experts, and they usually come back saying they're dust motes or they're
insects. Okay, no, this is video.
Yeah, that's right.
And what
yeah,
does,
sure, video too.
No, but I mean, I'll be able to go zoom in on it, and I mean it's a light ball.
But can you see it other than when it's
no,
on film?
Without the
now,
the,
if you can see it
the
before
naked
and then film it. You know, we've got something to work with here.
Well, even on the night vision, it doesn't show up. It's only when you put on the infrared. And this ball seems to get agitated. It's moving around. And then as I walk towards it, it zips right at me.
If you can give me a still or something, I'd be happy to send it to... I've got three teams that go over these, and I'd be happy to have them examine it and give you an assessment.
You can link up to Brad Steiger through coasttocoastam.com. And is Ronnie back? Is Ronnie's awake now? Hey,
hi.
Ronnie.
I'm here.
We were listening to you snoring.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just telling you. We heard you snoring. We tried to get you up, but you wouldn't wake up. But now you've got Brad Steiger. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hi.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Rod. I'm enjoying this program, and I took a nap while I was there.
Yeah, so we heard.
But you were speaking of angels, and I have two angels
okay.
that are with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked these angels where they were from, and they told me they were from the Pleiades,
yeah,
a star.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
And I asked them what the climate was there, and they told me it was misty a lot, and it was water. There was no land except, like, rocks. And they have a lot of crystals there, they told me.
Mm-hmm.
And
Crystal
I asked
City.
If they have any animals.
Okay.
And your
question for Brad?
And that's what I was going to ask. Does he talk to his angels? Do you talk to your angels?
Brad?
I think there are lots of admonishments against that kind of thing. You can't do it carelessly, but I've been fortunate enough to have them speak to me once in a while. But I don't believe we are to... you know, enter that type of relationship. I think that when we need them, they'll be there. And I'm not one to encourage one, because so often you see, you start out thinking you're talking to an angel, and then one of those nasty astral masqueraders can come in and end up making you do all kinds of things that might be considered foolish. And I think you have to be very cautious with you. And I'm not saying you're not, but I'm just saying that I'm not of the school that believes one should summon angels or should use them to pick your lottery numbers or any of those things.
The divine as a valet service.
Yeah.
Kind of, right? That's mm-hmm. how some people refer to it. Val is hanging on in Pahrump, Nevada.
Wow, I don't believe it. It took so long. I could see why Ronnie fell asleep. But the I just
sorry, we're keeping you up.
Well, yeah, really.
I've been waiting quite some time. First of all, quickly, two Eden Pures in my house, and I love them. They're great. They cut my electric bill over $150 the first month, and that's a free commercial. But what I wanted to tell you about was I'm almost 86 years old, and when I was 16, my folks gave me a little American Bantam with a steel roof, and my girlfriend and I, we were living in, at the time we were living in Miami, but I had some friends out in North Miami, and I wanted to see where their farm was. So this gal and I went driving out to the north end of town, and there are lots of dips there because it's a very flat area, and they have these drainage dips, and they use them as partly roadbeds.
Right.
So we were going up and down, up and down, up and down, and obviously I was going too fast. Another thing, the car, I couldn't reach the gas pedals very well, the brake pedal, so I'd taken the car back, and instead of moving the seat forward as they were supposed to do to keep the center of gravity, the idiot at the car dealership put a 4x4 underneath my back of my seat.
Great.
So when wonderful. I'm going up and down, all of a sudden, the seat buoys up, and my head hits the beam on the car, knocks me unconscious. The car turns over, and as near as I could figure, I had turned over three times before because I was facing the way I was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Out in the middle of nowhere, no one, no cars, no house, nobody. And when I came to, my girlfriend was out on the ground. Her door was open. Her side of the windshield was smashed, so I knew she got hurt. All I could think of is cut the engine because I could hear the car still running. So I right. cut the engine right. and cocked the wheels of the car so the car wouldn't go over on her down the ditch. Mm-hmm. And I crawled out her side because my side was a mess. It was all crumpled. All the turning had been on my side. Of course, this is before seatbelts.
Mm-hmm.
And right. of all things, I stand out there on the road looking around. I can't believe what's going on. My car's a mess. It's a brand-new car, 2 weeks old. My mother's going to kill me. And I'm checking my girlfriend, and it looks like she's going to have a black eye. And I had my hair in curlers, so later on my hair came out by handfuls. But out of nowhere, I mean nowhere, two men appeared. They picked up my little car, my little Bantam, and put it up on the roadbed, put their feet against the tires, pulled on the fenders so they turn. And one says, well, why don't you see if the engine will start? So I got in the car, started it up, and I said, it's working. And then they hollered, well, you're good to go. And I turned around to thank them, and there was no one there.
Love it. Great story. Great story.
No one there. Absolutely no one there.
Well, that's the Sherry and I have a new book out called Angel Miracles, and we've got that kind of story in there. And we'll have another coming out called Real Angels for Easter, and those are the kind of stories we love to get. I would very much like it if you would take the time, no hurry, but just take the time to type that up and send it to us. That's a wonderful story.
Julie is in San Antonio, Texas, on Coast to Coast AM for Brad Steiger. Julie?
Hi, Brad. How are
Hi,
you?
Julie.
Okay, my question is, well, my grandmother lives in San Antonio. She lives very close to the downtown area, and she's about, I would like to say, maybe a mile away from the Alamo. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the house that she lives in is well over 90 years old.
Okay.
Okay. In this hallway of her house, because it's divided into two sections, the front section and the back, you feel like this cold, cold eeriness mm-hmm. in that hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people have been there, and they said that they feel like something is in there. In the very back room, when we were younger, we would, you know, go over and visit with her. Sometimes we wake up with bruises on us.
Uh-oh. So a kind of nasty something is in that cold spot.
Yeah, but it doesn't bother anyone really unless you sleep in that one back room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, it's kind of freaky, you know?
Sure.
But
well, that brings us to the part, and thank you, Julie, that's the part of the book about sexual molesters from the shadow world
yeah.
and physical evidence that was left behind
right.
by people who have felt like they've been visited.
Right. Bruises and scratches and black eyes and, you know, the whole gamut. So some of these entities play very rough. And they, in many cases, unfortunately, have been summoned by attitude or by weakness, by vulnerability, or by someone actually making a plea, actually making a prayer, if you will, to have these entities visit them. Not a good thing to do.
Eddie is in El Paso on Coast to Coast AM for Brad Steiger. Eddie?
Brad, thank you very much for taking my call. Ian, how'd you enjoy the door slamming?
Oh, that was very interesting. Wasn't it weird?
it was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yes.
Brad, I just want to have your take on energy vortexes and having different messages from like entities
mm-hmm.
and how could that happen?
Are you referring to what I've written about energy vortexes or just in general?
I have not read anything that you've written.
Oh,
I'm just one by my own experience.
Okay. So, you had an experience in an energy vortex. They do exist, yes.
Very much so.
Right. And they are scattered throughout the United States and overseas and in many sacred places that Native Americans have called sacred, and for a very good reason, because they are energy vortices. So I'm not sure what your question is.
I am Native American and Hispanic by descent.
Okay.
My question is, how do you feel about messages from entities that have given a specific date, speak different languages?
This sounds like, is this happened to you then again, where you've gotten a message?
So.
Okay, well,
very
tell us,
so.
tell us the story.
Okay, that makes it easier to answer. Well, it, depending what the messages are, I certainly, Sherry is part Chippewa, and I've been adopted into the Seneca, and we're very active in Native American affairs, and we probably correspond with at least six shaman every day. So I certainly am open and most receptive to any type of messages that come from energy vortices.
Thank you for saying that, because I'd really like to contact somebody or even yourself because of that fact that the energy I feel from you is that it feels very receptive.
Well,
if I can contact you.
Please.
What was the message that you got?
Well, I lose time
mm-hmm.
and I write in a language from right to left. And I've been told it's actually seven different languages, Portuguese,
mm-hmm.
Native American,
mm-hmm.
and going into very, very intricate numbers.
All right. Well, do send it on. You can get that.
Yeah, if I can contact you, that'd be very interesting. I've been a caller for many a time, and
I'd like to see that. Well, make sure you get that into Brad Steiger then. And, Brad, yeah. I may call upon you sometime in the future to translate that for us and tell us what the message says. Can you do that?
I probably have someone who can translate it. So send it on, go to our website, and there you find, you know, contact us, you find our email, and send it on. We'll get it to the right people.
Eddie, make sure you mention that in the subject box in your email that you're following up on Coast to Coast call so they can get to that easily. Amy is in Oklahoma on Coast to Coast AM. Amy?
Hi, Ian.
Hi.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, Amy.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, I have a question, a small little story, and I just wanted to get your opinion on if it could have happened or not. It happened about 1981. Mm-hmm. I was in the seventh grade, and my granddad became very ill a few months before February when he died in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very close, and he started in a small town hospital in Oklahoma and then was brought up here to Oklahoma City and entered into the intensive care unit, eventually was put on life support. And back in those days, you know, children under 13 or whatever could not go back and visit.
That's correct.
With those people. I was constantly in the waiting room begging to go back. I was not allowed.
That's too bad.
I did not get to say goodbye. And it's been a lifelong issue of mine that I was not able to say goodbye to my granddaddy.
I know.
Well, anyway, the night or early morning that he passed away, my mom got a call about 3 or 4 in the morning from her sister to say that he had passed away. And she, of course, jumped up out of bed and was getting ready. My dad was up. I went in their bedroom and laid down in their bed all alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like he was there, like he came to tell me. I didn't see an apparition. I didn't see anything different.
Right.
But I heard him talking to me,
mm-hmm.
saying, "It's okay. You're not alone."
Right.
And it was an unexplainable feeling that I've never really been able to talk about with, that anyone really understood, but it was a feeling of his presence, the way I
right.
felt when I was with him and the things we used to do together.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amy,
he told me goodbye.
Considered it a blessing. Considered it a blessing. I can relate to that experience completely.
It's just another one, a very typical experience that Brad Steiger has written about over the years, and we'll just have to leave Amy's story there. But there's so many more waiting for you in the reprint of the book, Otherworldly Affairs. Hope people link up to that right away on coasttocoastam.com. And the people that Brad has asked to follow through with him, I hope you do. Because I too want to hear how those are resolved in the end.
We'll give you a report.
I look forward to an update. Would you let us know when you have one, especially on that translation,
right.
which I'm very curious about.
Well,
thank you so much for your time and sharing everything that you have with us tonight.
Oh, my pleasure, and I hope we can do it again.
Yeah, I know I will, and I know in the meantime you'll write another 400 books, but. I hope I get to you before George does. So thank you so much.
we'll send them. We've got 4 coming out pretty soon, Ian, and we'll see that your name is on them.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank and, you. Many blessings.
And a happy Halloween, too, for that matter. And Deus Tiamat, and I do, too.